And I guess the first thing that you have to decide is this something you want to do alone? Or do you want some help? On the one hand, it might be good to be alone while you do this, because you don't have to worry about anybody else. You don't have to worry, are they doing what they're supposed to be doing? And are they watching out for me? And do they have my best interests at heart? And so it might be good to be alone. But then on the other hand, it might be good to have some help. Depending on what you're able to accomplish. And there is some risk involved. And so it might be good to have some help. And then I guess the second thing you would have to do is choose where you're going to do this. Because there's lots of opportunities. I mean, they're all over. And some places are going to be better than others. And so you want the best possible outcome, so you're going to have to be a little bit picky about where you do this. And so you're going to want to find a place that has as little activity as possible. I guess I would phrase it that way. Because you don't want a lot of activity. You don't want a lot of people around. And so you're going to have to be a little picky. And you may have to observe for a few days. And you probably want to have, you know, two or three, four places picked out and observe these places and kind of whittle them down, you know, based on the level of activity and the kind of activity that's around there. And then you probably want to think about how are you going to gain access? Because, again, there's going to be multiple ways that you can do this. And so you're going to have to give that some thought. What am I talking about? Talking about how to be a burglar. I want you to get this. Do this right. And someone says, the preacher has lost his mind. Out of curiosity, we have any professional thieves here this morning? Safety team may want to make a note or two. I don't see any hands. No thieves among us. And so you may be wondering, Kevin, why are we talking about this? There's no thieves here. None of us are thieves. We know better. We're good people. We're people of integrity. We're not going to do something like that. Well, we're talking about it because the Apostle Paul talks about it. And my responsibility to you is to declare to you the whole counsel of God. And so here we are back in Ephesians chapter 4, and Paul is talking about this transformed life. This new life. He says we are to put off the old self and put on the new self. And we do that by the renewal of our minds. And he's talked about how we are to speak truth to one another because we are members one of another. And then he talks about this problem of anger. And he doesn't say don't be angry, but he does say be angry, but don't sin. And so we learn about being angry at the right things and being in control of our anger and not allowing our anger to take us into sin. And then he says, let the thief steal no longer, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Ephesians 4 and verse 28. Writing to Christians. And so apparently this was a problem. I mean, it's a problem today. I don't know that it's a problem within the church. Maybe it is in some places. But I guess it was a real problem back in Paul's day. You may recall back there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul writes there in verse 9, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived." And then he goes on to list several different kinds of behavior, sinful behavior. Included in that list are things like sexual immorality and idolatry and greed and drunkards and swindlers. And included in that list are thieves. Thieves will not inherit the kingdom of God. So Paul goes on to say to those Corinthians, "And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Some of them had been thieves. But you know what happens when the gospel of Jesus breaks into a thief's heart? He stops stealing.
Amen.
He becomes someone different. And so that's why Paul tells the Ephesians, "Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need." So what do we do with this text this morning? Does this text have anything to say to us as good, moral, honest people who are not thieves? You know, it would have been really easy, and for a split second I thought about this, but it would have been really easy just to skip this verse and go on to the next verse where Paul talks about speech. Boy, we can talk a lot about speech, couldn't we? We will next Lord's Day, Lord willing. But I thought, no, Paul talked about this. So we're going to be honest with the text, and we're going to talk about it. But I thought, what can I say about stealing to people who really aren't interested in stealing, who are not thieves? And so as I was thinking about stealing, I thought about the times it's happened to me. And I've told that story about how we were burglarized. And I thought about what happens there. And I thought about what happens when a person steals. Well, they take something, don't they? They take something that rightfully belongs to somebody else. They're not givers, they're takers. And it's interesting that Paul goes on in this text in Ephesians 4, and he says, don't steal, but rather, what? Share. Do your work with your own hands so that you'll have something to share, something to give. Don't be takers, be givers.
That's right.
And so I thought, well, we could go there. And the Bible even offers a slightly different, but not completely, perspective on stealing. In the scriptures, stealing is not just taking. Stealing can also be withholding something.
That's right.
that rightfully belongs to somebody else. You recall the text? Where God says through the prophet Malachi, this is chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, God says, "From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord. But you say, how shall we return? Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and contributions, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you." What were they doing? They were withholding from God something that rightfully belonged to Him. And God told them, "You are robbing me. You are stealing from me." And so I wondered, is it possible that we could be guilty of doing something similar? And maybe we're not breaking into somebody's house, we're not kicking in a back door or crawling in through a window, but we're withholding something that somebody else has a right to. What about things that we are withholding from our friends? Maybe a family member, neighbors, co-workers. Is there something that they need that we have the ability to share? It's getting back to Ephesians 4, isn't it? Something to share with others in need. Is there something that we're withholding? Something that we have that can be of benefit to somebody else? Do they need our compassion? You know, as we look at our society, our world today, I'm not sure compassionate would be one of the first words that jumps to mind. And there are a lot of people, even in our community, who are hurting right now. There's a lot of folks in Kerrville who are suffering right now from things we could not have imagined a year ago. Some of them are frightened. They're scared. Some of them are lonely. Some of them may be wondering if anybody remembers them. Have they been forgotten? And especially because of this situation that we're in, you know, they have isolated themselves, or they've been forced to isolate themselves because they are in some facility that forces them to do so. And so maybe they can't leave, or they don't want to leave out of their fear, and we can't get to them because of regulations, or maybe it's because they really don't want us to come to them. It's a tough situation, isn't it? But the phones still work, and the postal system is still functioning. We can still have contact with people. It's ironic that contact with people is something that we're being told to avoid, and you know, we're to take that seriously, and so we're doing what we can to do that, and yet that is what so many people desperately need.
Amen.
To as some sort of contact.
Amen.
And so are we withholding that? Not because we want to hurt anybody, but just because we're not seeing the opportunity. Are we withholding our service? And again, this is going to take maybe some creativity, but especially at this time of year, and oftentimes the weather makes this an important thing to consider, but there are people who need some help with things, and there are all kinds of civic organizations who are, you know, doing what they can, again, especially at this time of year, to help people who really just can't help themselves, are not in a position to help themselves. And so have you ever volunteered for some of that? Have I? Really proud of my sister and her husband. They live in Waco, and each week they participate in a food kitchen. And it's just a place where people can go and get a free meal. And they don't get paid for doing this. They just donate some time. And they're helping people that, you know, ordinarily, typically, we might not engage. And so they're offering a service to kind of help out, and I wonder maybe if there's opportunities here that we can do that, especially with this situation. Maybe it's just a neighbor we see out in their yard. Maybe they're doing some serious work, and maybe we go out and just offer, hey, can I help? You know, that's outside. We don't have to, you know, be all that worried about the virus and stuff, but maybe there's a way we can lend a hand just to help because they need some help. Or do they need our stuff? Do you have any stuff? I think we probably all have stuff. You know, stuff that's in boxes that are in the closet or in the attic or in the garage. Stuff we haven't seen or used for years. Why do we keep that stuff? Why are we holding on to that? Maybe there's other folks that could really use our stuff. Of course, there's all kinds of places we could take that stuff to. Does somebody need our time? I mean, we're all busy, aren't we? Time is precious. But can we find some extra? I mean, everybody gets 24 hours a day, but maybe there's a way we could rearrange some things and provide somebody some time. Maybe we know somebody that, you know, has talked recently about they wish they could get a little bit healthier. They wish they could get out and walk more, or maybe go to a gym or something. How about join up with them? Give them an hour, 3 days a week. Maybe you never thought about going to the gym. Maybe think about it. And help this person be encouraged and supported in what they're trying to do to improve their life. And make an investment in that relationship. Give them some time. Parents need babysitters occasionally, don't they?
Amen.
Maybe adopt a family. Tell them, you know, not every week, not every other night, you know, but periodically. Let me watch your kids. And, you know, let the husband and wife go out and just be a couple for a couple of hours. Give them some time. Doesn't even have to be a brother or sister in Christ. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's that young couple across the street. Make an investment. Maybe they need our forgiveness. Maybe there's that relationship, you know, that's It's just been harsh for a long time. And maybe it's time, you know, I think one thing we've learned the last few months, life is short. And life is unpredictable. And so maybe it's just time to let that go. Maybe it's time to rebuild that relationship. Tear down the wall. Of course, most importantly, do they need the gospel? I mean, God intended that for whom? For the whole world, right?
Amen.
We have that. Good news. It's hard to hold on to good news, isn't it? Is that something we're withholding from a neighbor or a good friend? Again, a family member. We're talking about not stealing. And sometimes not stealing is just sharing what we have with others who are in need. And so maybe this verse does speak to us. We're not going to kick in anybody's door. We're not going to break somebody's window. What do we have that we can share with others? That's part of that transformed life, the new life. It's part of the everyday life the gospel brings to us as it tries to reshape us and reform us. How's that process of transformation going on in your life? Making progress? You know, we never plateau. I mean, that's not the design. You know, sadly, we may get to that point in our minds where we've arrived, but we can't think like that. It's a continual journey. It's a continual process. There's always room to grow. And so how's that process working for you right now? Maybe this week we can exercise this, emphasize this a little more, and kind of put ourselves out there and share with someone who has a need and how we can help to fill that need. I think Jesus would do that, wouldn't he? So common, so characteristic of our Lord and Savior. If we can encourage you this morning in some way, if we can help you to become a child of God this morning, that would be a privilege and a joy. And if we can pray for you this morning, please let us know what to pray for and lift you up. Please come right now while we stand.
Buried with Christ, my blessed Redeemer, dead to the old life of folly and sin. Satan may call, the world may entreat me. There is no voice that answers within.